in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about politicians, pastors, and patriotism. Is it less than patriotism for a pastor to simply say, I'm not going to vote? I'm not going to be involved in it. I'm looking at a headline that says, Christians have a responsibility and a privilege to get engaged in politics. This article is written on October the 18th this year. There are around 25 million Christians in the United States that do not vote consistently, 1 out of every 3 Christians. If self-professed followers of Christ voted, they would have the power to single-handedly change the course and destiny of America. This article goes further. Christians are to take 3 steps to get involved. Pray for our nation and elected officials regularly. Vote in every local, state, and national election to impact our culture. Engage in civic education or involvement for the well-being of our local communities and for our nation. Christians should be engaged in politics because we are Christ followers in every part of our lives. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this writer says this in summary. We've been blessed with an opportunity to elect our representatives. The founders of this great nation gave us a gift. At minimum, every Christian should be loving their neighbor enough to elect righteous leaders in America. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We have with us today Jim Crendon and his bride, Lori. They're faith leaders with Citizens Defending Freedom. Jim and Lori, again, thank you for being here. Jim, if you would take a few moments and speak to the Christian leaders, maybe a deacon, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a pastor, and from your perspective and what you've done in your ministry responsibility, speak to them as a challenge. And the challenge is this. We need to stand up as Christians if we stand alone. Speak to that thought and what you would say to a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, or a deacon if you were standing here now.
I would tell them that the personal, battle, if you will, for lack of a better word, of conscience. Think back to whenever you decided to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you had fleeting thoughts of, once I do that, everything will be okay, or everything will be great, or this will be a quick fix, or, oh my goodness, no matter what your walk was, how you came to that decision to accept the Lord God and His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. My question would be, and my challenge to anybody out there that says, well, how could this work, and how could this be any different? Here's what it is. When you decided to do that, you realized pretty quickly, weeks or months later, that wasn't the answer to everything. That was the answer for eternity. And yes, the more you get into the Bible, and we've talked about that before, the more the Word of God will get into you. Mm-hmm. But It's a difficult walk, and that's why it says narrow is the way. You know, wide is the path to destruction, but narrow is the way. Is it the most fulfilling, most edifying, most unbelievable sensation you can ever experience on earth? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. But is it an easy peasy thing? No. It's way easier to be a sinner and run off the rails and knock yourself out. Be me. Eat, consume, buy, whatever you want. And chase something that you think is going to fill you. But you and I know, as believers, there's a hole in our hearts as humans. And nothing can fill that empty void except Jesus Christ. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing you can do.
First, foremost, and final. That's the thought.
Exactly.
Jim, I'm looking at a headline here. Tragic day. Fire chief gets fired for attending a Christian event.
Yeah.
Now the Supreme Court is being asked to get involved. This article, dated October the 20th, says the U.S. Supreme Court has been asked to reverse the firing of a fire chief who lost his job in Stockton, California, just because he attended an assigned leadership conference. What was the problem? The attendance at that conference was being held in a church building. First Liberty Institute has announced it and others have joined to ask the Supreme Court to review the case involving the chief, fire chief, Ron Hiddle. Quote, "It is a tragic day for religious liberty in America when someone can be fired because they attend an event that includes religious perspectives from a perspective from the religious view," a lawyer for First Liberty Institute says. "The city showed extreme anti-religious bias and broke the law when it fired Chief Hiddle. We're asking the Supreme Court to reverse the lower court's decision and uphold the clear meaning of Title VII to protect all Americans in the workplace." Now, I'm reading that and stating that at this juncture because this election, if we lose the election to the Socialist Marxist Communist Party called the Democrats, if we lose the election in that realm, we've lost our religious liberties. Yep. We think it's tough now. We think the Christians are getting persecuted and prosecuted now. We think that our civil liberties are being infringed upon now. As the little boy says, we ain't seen nothing yet. Yep. As we will see if Kamala Harris is at the helm of the leadership in America. We're finding more and more censorship today. We're finding Kamala Harris and John, former Secretary of State, says that we ought not to have full liberties and freedom of speech. It should be infringed upon. We find Hillary Clinton said anybody that says something that's disinformation or misinformation needs to be put in jail, locked up. And I can go on and on. That's just hearing it now, but it will be implemented if Kamala Harris goes into office.
So our listeners should have enough hard, fast evidence now to realize that. The good news is, and you know where it is in the Bible, but multiple times in the Bible, it talks about the remnant. And multiple times in the Bible, God provides proof over and over again. He doesn't deal with the masses. He never used a huge crowd change things. It was with Gideon, he said, nope, that's too many. Mm-hmm. They've got to go down to the water now and drink the water. But if they look up, you know it better than I do, inside and out. But he used the remnant. You and I talked about it. Where are the Billy Grahams? Well, I'm sitting next to somebody that's got the heart of a Billy Graham in this studio this morning. No, God bless you, because it's a rare thing. But again, there is hope, and it's that spark. If you need more proof of it after reading the Bible, when you get to the end, you know who's the first in line to the fiery hot sulfur spring, and it's not the brave. It's the cowardly. That's the very first group mentioned that's going.
That's right.
So if you're not man enough to stand up, really, before you go to sleep tonight, pray and ask God to come into your heart like Joshua, like Daniel. Were they perfect men? No. They had chinks in the armor. They were human. God did his best work with them. God did his best
work.
I think Daniel really had to believe it when he got thrown into that lion's den.
Right.
And in the morning when the king had the stone rolled away and his good friend that he loved, but he had to do his word and throw him in there, he was at joy when he did it. Guess what happened to the enemies that said, oh, you better throw him in the lion's den. And Daniel came out of, what's our strength? The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
So if number one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, get smart. Guys and gals out there, pastors and their brides and their spouses and so forth, get smart with what's going to wake you up, and then ask for strength. God is abundantly going to give you strength. But
absolutely,
get that courage and that strength and step forward. And that Remnant Alliance thing is part of the beauty of CDF and Patriot Academy and Liberty Council and these groups that have all said the same thing. What can we do to make this work? Come together as a small remnant of godly women and men that want to heal this nation.
Absolutely.
And it's 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Amen.
If my people will humble themselves and seek my face and call on me, I will heal their land.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not probably saying the whole thing the
you,
way.
You got it close
but I got
enough.
The gist, yes. But I would tell you, if you guys are wondering who you are supposed to be, I'll give you a list. Anybody off air wants to call me or contact me, I think I've got 20 per page, give or take. 1, 2, 3. I've five pages of who I am. You're the salt and light. You're the light of the world. You're a child of God. You're part of the true vine, a channel of Christ's life. You're Christ's friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's who you are. You're chosen and appointed by Christ. And I have a verse for everyone. I'm a slave of righteousness. Think about that. And you should be happy you are. I'm enslaved to God. I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a temple. I'm a member of Christ's body. I'm a new creation. I'm reconciled to God. I'm a minister. I'm a son of God or a daughter of Christ. An heir of God since I'm a son. You're an heir. So if you're an orphan, if you never knew your dad, if your dad disappointed you, or same with your mom or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Your Holy Father loves you and he's got the broadest shoulders, the biggest heart, and the most love to share.
And Jim, on the heels of that, God ordained civil government,
mm-hmm.
and civil government designed to prosecute evil and protect good. And if God ordained civil government, and he did, according to Romans 13, civil government is designed according to God's ordained purpose to be a servant to him. Government leaders are to be servants to God. And if they fail to do that, then does that mean that a Christian ought to still obey and submit? It was Peter that said we ought to obey God rather than man.
God's rule.
In
That's
Acts
right.
chapter 5, verse 29. And what was the history behind that? They were out preaching on the street corner. The government says you can't do that. They beat them, put them in jail, released them. The next day, Peter's back on the street corner preaching. When they chided him, haven't we told you that you can't do that? He said, we ought to obey God rather than government. And I believe that ought to be the mantra of citizens listening to that. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying when you get to the intersection, see that sign that says STOP? It does not mean slide tires on pavement.
No. Nope.
It means to stop. And so that's obeying government in the sense that it ought to be obeyed. But we need to recognize it. Jim, as you were talking, I thought about a letter that I received on email this morning from a listener. Let me just read a portion of the letter. Dear Pastor Youngblood, thank you always for your courageous stand for God and liberty. I enjoyed your recent message about voting based on passages in Exodus and your radio programs. Somehow we have convinced all Christians to vote the Bible. Somehow we have to convince all Christians to vote the Bible. Honestly, I can't imagine why any Christian would not come out in record number to defeat Amendment 4 if for no other reason. I have been shocked by the number of churches that have not said peep about Amendment 4. I actually went to a local church near my home yesterday and specifically asked the folks, where is your information against Amendment 4? They looked at me as if I was from a different planet. They told me to inform the church leaders about this subject. I told her they have to know, as the TV ads are on every channel. The church is purposely ignoring the plight of millions of babies being murdered. I won't go back to that church again. Apparently, they're more of a social club instead of the Bible-believing New Testament church. He goes on to say, thank you for all you're doing, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's hope, let's pray that the remaining God-fearing people will stand up at this time and say enough is enough and vote no, get rid of the communists, end quote. And he says, God bless you and your family. So, Jim, let's jump in a little bit backwards, if you will, rather than going to Amendment 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Talk about Amendment 4. What is it? What does it do? And why should our listeners today vote no on Amendment 4? Amendment 4, ladies and gentlemen, is the ballot initiative that will put on in the Constitution for the state of Florida the right to have unfettered abortion in the state of Florida. Amendment 4 is fraudulent. Amendment 4 is saying something that is not true. I want Jim to talk about it and challenge you as our listeners to vote no on Amendment 4. What's wrong with Amendment 4? What are the fraudulent points in Amendment 4? It's a very simple amendment, but they're leaving much off that we need to, our listeners need to understand.
The language is misleading and vague. Limit interference in the title, no law shall, or contradictory. The ballot summary is false. While it claims no law can restrict or regulate abortion, the Federal Partial Abortion Act will preempt the amendment. The amendment will mean abortion will become totally unregulated under state law, and this includes health and safety regulations. Undefined terms such as health care provider, most of them non-medical.
So a health care provider could be a
tattoo artist.
It could be a tattoo artist. It could be a podiatrist, you know. Or it could simply be a so-called nurse at the abortion clinic.
And it's allowing abortion up until the time of birth. That's just, and I just read something this morning from a doctor that said, I want to clear something up so that there's absolutely no doubt. I'm a board-certified OBGYN who has delivered over 2,500 babies. There's not a single fetal or maternal condition that requires third trimester abortion. Not one. Delivery, yes. Abortion, no.
Good statement. Very good.
Yep. That's the practice of medicine. It's not the perfect. There's only one perfect physician. And I know that one of the things, too, the amendment would completely deregulate, not allowing the state, including the legislature and agency for health care administration, and authority to protect women or unborn children.
Right. But they write it to make it sound like it's health care. It's going to help women. And
That is the whole point that I am so saddened to see. And Andrew Scherville, out of Tallahassee, has a ministry organization called Florida's Voice for the Unborn. And Andrew says, one cannot compromise with evil, and the abortion industry is pure evil.
Yep.
Today's compromise decisions are simply unacceptable when five of the current sitting justices of the court were appointed by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. Clearly, grassroots pro-life advocates have been misled by elements within the pro-life, pro-family establishment because Florida's highest court has now revealed itself to be a paper tiger when it comes to standing up for the murderous abortion industry. So I am saddened that that's on the ballot for us to vote on. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I've said for quite some time in relationship to these amendments, just about every 4 years, every major federal election, we have those that have gotten, with deep pockets, they paid for petitions to be signed to put issues on the ballot to change our Constitution. Listen, you've heard me say before on this broadcast, since 1973, the Florida State Constitution has been amended 127 times, whereas the federal Constitution has been amended a total of 27 times for the life of it. I am saddened to see the fact that people can have deep enough pockets to pay for enough petitions to put it on the ballot. They spent some $83 to $90 million to get it on the ballot. That is the position of those that are pushing abortion. And Lori, to your point that you're making by reading the OBGYN physician statement, the older the baby is in the mother's womb before abortion, the more valuable those body parts are. And yes. Planned Parenthood, ladies and gentlemen, making abortion, they want to make abortion legal right up to and including the birth of the baby, because the more healthy, aged body parts will bring. For example, the heart will bring about $500,000. The lungs bring about $250,000 from Planned Parenthood when they sell the body parts. And that's the whole purpose of it. By the way, I must do this. We have abortion and pornography being taught in our schools, and the purpose is, just like you have driver training, it's training you how to drive. Sex education is training one how to have sex. As a result of that, it's producing more illegitimate births, and therefore it's producing more product for Planned Parenthood to market. That's the bottom line. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the answer to that question in relationship to Amendment Number 4 is to say no. It will give unfettered right, constitutional right, to have an abortion. And according to Governor Ron DeSantis, in his statement that is attached to that amendment on your ballot, is that once it becomes a constitutional right, an individual then can go back and say, I don't have the funds for it. And if it's a constitutional right, we will wind up just as in Michigan at this very moment. Michigan taxpayers are paying for the abortion because of passing a law very, very similar to this amendment that they're wanting for the state of Florida. So it's a horrendous bill, not bill, but horrendous amendment. If it passes, Florida will become the murder capital of the nation. And so even though it is benign sounding, even though it sounds very simple, ladies and gentlemen, it will take away the parents' right to be in, not just informed, but to give consent to that abortion for that teenager. So, Jim, let's jump from that. I think we could go deeper as far as the discussion of that. But let's talk about Amendment 3, the Pott Amendment. Yep. Amendment 3. What is that? What does it do? And why should our listeners vote no on Amendment 3?
The legalized use of marijuana for non-medical persons over 21. It mentions the specific amount, the quantity that you can have, 85 grams of marijuana concentrate. And no, because you could argue that, you know, some people say, well, gosh, it's healthier than alcohol. They're both bad. Mm-hmm. And having been to Colorado and seen what it's like to walk around and have people smoking it and the smell of it, there's nothing good that comes from it. There's a reason that they call marijuana dope. Mm-hmm. If you've got a medical reason for it and the CBD or whatever the stuff is that's a pain reliever they extract from it, great. But as far as recreational reasons...
Well, you know, Jim, not to cut you off, but going back when medical marijuana was approved in 2016 for the state of Florida, most people were not aware of the fact that we didn't need an amendment for medical marijuana. Right. You could already go to your physician, and if he saw necessary, write the prescription that would have the THC or whatever's in there from the marijuana plant. But no, we had to circumvent that. John Morgan of the Morgan Law Firm spent about $6 million out of his own pocket at that time to pass medical marijuana, and they have spent millions upon millions upon millions, not just with John Morgan and his law firm, but Trulieve, which is the major producer of marijuana in America, has a major marijuana production plant in South Florida, where the power bill and the use of electricity for that plant is more than the whole city requires on its own. And yet we have that push today for so-called recreational marijuana. I don't know if you've noticed some of the ads or not, Jim, but on television, at least they've got one or two ads that's good that's telling people to vote no on Amendment 3. One is where a lady's talking about a young man sitting in the park on the park bench, and he says, I can't stand to sit here. The smell of marijuana is so bad. Then it shows one walking down the hallway in an office building, and the puffing of marijuana is so strong, she jumps on the elevator and said, vote no on 3.
My question is this to the listening audience. Show me a success story anywhere in your own personal life or anywhere that you've seen in newspaper or television about a success story of drugs and alcohol.
None.
And there's not. There's not a single person that you could point at and say, I want to be just like that guy or gal.
In fact, I have studied every one of the mass shooters. They're either on a prescribed psychotropic drug or marijuana itself that causes the psychosis, the schizophrenia, the memory failure. It causes child birth defects if the mother is on marijuana at the time of the birth. But the thing that is so horrendous is that they produce, out of the marijuana industry, they produce gummy bears, chocolate chip cookies, chewing gum, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that looks like the regular product that teenagers and preteens are getting on hold to. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the ads on television that's on target is talking about California and the number of teenagers that are stricken because of taking mom and dad's marijuana that looks like a regular chocolate chip cookie, looks like a regular gummy bear. As a result of that, rush to the emergency rooms where they have to be intubated because they cannot breathe. And the nurse that was speaking about that said, we just hope each time that they will regain consciousness without dying. But in the state of Colorado, preteens and teens are dying, going to the emergency rooms every day as a result of getting. And yet these proponents of this marijuana amendment number 3 says it is safe, it is legal, it's lab tested for those 21 years old and older. Well, and how are you going to guarantee that a 16-year-old won't get it, or 13 or 10-year-old?
DUI, you can't. It'll be driving under the influence because it just won't be alcohol anymore.
But then you also have, like, the on TV, you see the commercials with the sheriffs, you know, the Republican sheriff, and we need to vote yes on this so we can get, you know, free up our jails mm-hmm. for more serious crimes. And then I got a flyer. We got a flyer in the mail this weekend about, you know, Trump said, I guess, September.
Trump is backing it.
Last month. He
sadly.
Said vote yes on it, which I...
Well, I think he's doing that for political reasons. I still disagree with him on it. But these paid liars with the uniform and the badge on, mm-hmm. I think needs to be illegal for him to put the badge
right.
on and vote for that. And they're giving the lie that it will free up the sheriffs able to prosecute real criminals
right.
and not those that are using marijuana. But here's the thing that bothers me that most have not talked about on any of the ads that I've seen. Buried in the actual amendment, not the amendment wording that's on the ballot, but buried in that amendment says marijuana products and marijuana accessories by adults as defined below in compliance with this section is not subject to any criminal or civil liability or sanctions under Florida law. So the bottom line is, Jim and Lori, if this Amendment 3 passes, you could have a child that dies as a result of it, or is ill because of it, or a birth defect because of it, and you can't file suit against the industry that put it out. And yet with an automobile, if you're in a wreck and somebody's hurt, killed, or dies, or injured permanently, they can sue. They can sue the manufacturing company for the carpets were made, carpets that were not flammable or where you couldn't catch fire, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But to say that the marijuana industry can't be sued?
That sounds very similar to the pharmaceutical industry. They're not responsible
sure
for
absolutely.
The vaccine
injuries. I believe we have Angela on the line. Angela, go over the question or comment, please.
I'm sorry, Dr. Yobug. I was just going to tell you what you just said, that no matter what happens on the pot thing, you cannot sue them. And you just said it. I just wanted to let you guys know. I just heard it on news, and I was like, I'm flabbergasted. People are voting for a bill that if your kid dies, like you just said, if anything happens, that you cannot sue them. I mean, this is ridiculous. Anybody that votes for any of these number 3, number 4 pot abortion, they must not love God, because anybody that loves God would not kill a baby. I mean, it's just, I can't even understand it. It's just beyond my train of
Angela,
thought.
You're exactly right and spot on. In fact, I say this very clearly and very succinctly. It's an impossibility for a professing mm-hmm. Christian to vote for Kamala Harris. It's an impossibility for a professing
Amen.
Christian to vote for the pot amendment or for the murder by way of abortion amendment. We can talk about the other amendments. Those are the major two that will differentiate
Amen.
Between one that is simply a Christian in name only, or that's a born-again believer. We cannot do it. Angela, thank you so much for your call today.
Thank
God bless you.
Have a blessed
keep
day.
Looking up. Our time is just about up, Jim and Lori, but touch on Amendment 1 very quickly in the few seconds that we have. Amendment 1 requires the D and the R behind the name of the school board candidate.
For school board. And, that's government money for it to change it so that you can't use government money for that. And we're saying yes, that you...
No, that's the school board races.
Yeah, that's what he said, Amendment 1.
Amendment right. 1.
Amendment 1.
Right.
School board races.
School board race.
And we're saying we don't want to use part government money.
That was 6.
That's 6. Yeah. That's all right. It's Amendment 1 is saying yes simply because we won't have knowledge of that candidate, or whether he's a Democrat or Republican, when he or she's running for office. It is needful and necessary, ladies and gentlemen, for us to be informed as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, that we take a stand and honor God in this election. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the air today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
A plumb line is a standard, one that is straight and true, but the only perfect standard is God's Word. It is what we should use to guide and guard our lives and our minds. Yet so few of those who call